All right, good morning. Hey. Happy New Year. A few weeks ago, I gave some homework, and so if you were here, I hope you have engaged in that a little bit at some level. The homework was to start reading through the book of Mark, and for the book of Mark, after you read a chapter, to kind of reflect on it a little bit. And write down, what did Jesus do? What did Jesus say? And what was your reaction to that? And I think it's even nice sometimes to go over a chapter more than once, or even a section more than once. There's a lot in there. I want to share one of the things that stuck out to me is in Mark 9, 21 through 24, there's this cool interaction Jesus has with this guy whose son is possessed by a demon. And his disciples tried to drive out the demon, but they couldn't. So Jesus comes, he sees all this commotion. Jesus asks the boy's father, how long has he been like this? The man says, ever since childhood. And the demon possesses him. Sometimes it tries to kill him. It throws him into the fire, throws him into the water, tries to drown him. And he says, please, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Such an interesting reply to Jesus. Jesus says, if you can. Like, what do you mean, if I can? Everything is possible for the one who believes. What an amazing statement. And then I love this guy's answer. The guy says, immediately he says, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. What an amazingly honest statement, I think. Yes, I do believe in your power, Jesus. Help me with my unbelief. I have this unbelief in my life also. And he doesn't gloss over that and just say, I don't have any unbelief. I believe you perfectly. Just honestly brings that, help me overcome my unbelief. And this last week as we were traveling, I feel like I've just kind of been engaging at a new level of being more honest with myself. And part of that for me has been journaling out some things and just writing down, right now, what am I thinking and feeling? And I think a lot of times I just want to pretend like all that stuff's not there. No, I'm not really scared. No, I don't really have anger in my life. No, I'm not really sad. I don't really doubt. I'm not really ashamed. Just keep that stuff, lock it up. And I just believe Jesus and live this Jesus life. And I'm starting to unlock that a little and actually be real with some of the things in my life. Not that I've been an especially fake person in my life, but just at a new level of, okay, maybe there is some unforgiveness in my life. And write about it, and just, it's a really amazing thing to write about. And even in that, right, there's some prayers that go in that, God, here I am. Help me with this. And then also to speak some of that, especially with my wife. And so while we were traveling, for some reason, traveling is really hard for me. Enough that I dread it. I don't even really want to travel. So we're going to visit our families. We're going to be up there New Year's, and I'm not looking forward to it. Like, oh, great, I know what's going to happen. Well, I'm going to have all these expectations. Me and Holly are going to, you know, not spend time together. I'm going to shrink back. I'm going to whatever. And so we're there in the thick of it. We just hung out with her family for a few days. And one of the challenges for me is I get labeled as the fun hater in our family. And part of that's true. And then part of it is this really, Jesus says one of the weeds of life that chokes us out is that the pleasure of life and the desire for other things. And I feel in my own life how just, if I get consumed by pleasure, it just chokes out my spiritual life. And so I become the fun hater and the guardian of that for my family. And Holly's brother is like a fun lover. He's a year older than me, and he has more toys than any kid in this church, I'm sure. And he's just a ton of fun. And so I'm in this spot, and I'm just writing out where I'm at and feeling like my wife doesn't really like me right now because I'm just me and I'm... There's something weird about being honest, even now, to be honest. There's something scary in it. If you guys really knew who I was, what would that do? Would that freak you out? At some level, I think I'm afraid it would freak you out. And so I don't want you to see this. I'm going to let you see this painted up picture of me. And that part's true of me too. But there's a whole picture. And so I'm writing out these things. And then I asked Holly if we could go for a walk. And she said, let's make it a run. And so as we're running, she's sharing what she's going through. And I started sharing some of these things. And she started kind of, what? That's craziness. I'm like, I'm not saying it's rational. I'm not saying my fears are rational. But at this moment, I'm afraid that you don't really like me. That's a fear that I have. And so I just asked her just to hear that. And she heard it out, and then she told me how much she cares about me. There's something really freeing, really amazing about being honest. Honest with ourselves, honest with God, honest with others. And I want to talk about this. I think this man is a great example of that, just being honest. And so, why don't we pray and let's ask God to teach us. God, thank you that you receive us exactly as we are. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, God, that you know every single thing in my life. And you still receive me. Thank you that you are not ashamed of me. God, I ask that you would grow us in honesty. Because of your grace, I ask that you would teach us this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. All right, so I want to start with this. God is the most awesome, frightening being in the entire universe. Sometimes we make him out to be this tame pet God. No mortal can stand before him, even look at him, or be in his full presence. If we were to come before the living God, we would tremble with fear. We would say things like, woe is me. We would realize how unclean and how pathetic we are. We would be speechless, or we would collapse like we were dead. And you can read about this. This is the experience of people who have come in the presence of God. Our God is a consuming fire. To really come before him, awe would be the most polite way in that. God deserves complete awe. He is amazing. Terrifying. And yet, this amazing being who has the power of life and death in his hands, who breathes and speaks things into existence. God extends amazing grace to us. And grace is that gift, it's favor that we don't deserve. He gives us grace that we have not earned. He gives us his righteousness that we could come into his presence. Because we didn't have it. He gave us of his righteousness through Christ. So that we can come into his presence, we can be with him, we can be known by him, and we can know him. God's grace is what allows us to have a relationship with him. I want to look at what does the Bible say about God's grace. And so first I want to start with what the Bible does not say about God's grace. This is Dove's religious knockoff. It is not a translation of the Bible. It is a joke. It is the dorky version. Do not follow this. Do not cite this or quote this. But in Romans 5:8, the knockoff version says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. When we stopped sinning, he was willing to receive us. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's His grace. While we were a mess, He came into our world and brought forgiveness, brought Himself into our world to help us. In Dove's religious knockoff, in Romans 5:20 says, "But where sin increased, the need for penance increased as well." When we sinned more, we needed to do more prayers, more community service, more payment for the sins. But that's not what Paul writes. Paul says, "But where sin increased, grace increased all the more." Where we had horrific sin in our life, God extended Himself to us even more. He didn't turn His back on us. He extended Himself to us. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it does not say, "For it is by your effort you will be saved through good works. And this is admirable because you have accomplished what most people never will." It doesn't say that. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, through trust in Him. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." That's God's grace. Romans 4:5 does not say, "However, to the one who does all the right things and always does their duty, their work is credited as righteousness." Sometimes that's how we live. Our righteousness, being right with God, is because we do all the right things and we do our duty. And now, all that good work I did earned me a right spot with God. Instead, Paul says, "However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness." Amazing. Righteousness, being right with God, for someone who does not work, who just trusts. Hebrews 4:16 does not say, "Let us then approach God's throne only when we are perfect." Let us only come before God when we're perfect, so that we will not bother Him with some insignificant need. I'm glad it doesn't say that. That would be really bad. It says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." How amazing that we have a God of grace. Titus 3:5 does not say that He saved us because of how righteous we were, and because of the actions that showed everyone our goodness. But Titus 3:5, Paul writes to Titus, He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. He didn't save us because of anything we had done, but because of His mercy. And in His mercy, He gave us the Holy Spirit. He transformed us from the inside, not to our credit. So this relationship we have with God is not based on my effort to become right with Him. That is religion. But it's based on God giving me grace. It is based on grace. Him coming to me. Him granting me favor. Therefore, I can come to God exactly as I am. I do not need to pretend. And at some level, I think we all do. Maybe unknowingly, we're just don't even know we have this other stuff in our life, and at other times, we just, I don't know, want people to see us in a certain way or to see ourselves in a certain way. But we can come to God exactly as we are, because that relationship is because of His grace. It's not based on my performance. It's not based on how I look in His sight. God receives me as I am. That is such an amazing thing. Amazing thing. God receives each one of us exactly as we are. He receives us. He accepts us. He brings us in. But it doesn't mean we stay as we are. That's the cool thing too. His love transforms me. As He receives me and I let Him have more and more of me, His love works on those places. And when I bring to Him me with my anger, and I let Him have me in that spot, let Him love me in the midst of my anger, His love washes me, it changes me, it works on me, and I become different. When I know I'm loved, and as His love works, I'm transformed. When I let Him have me, He changes me. And because of this, I can learn to be honest with myself and with God and others. And so the challenge I have for us is to learn to be honest with ourselves. And I want to encourage each of us, even in this new year, to grow in honesty. And I think the thing that stops us from honesty is that I can't handle the truth. Right? Like, maybe God can't handle the truth. That's not true, though. And what happens is when I am completely honest with myself, yeah, I actually have shame in my life. And I bring that out and I don't pretend like it's not there. And I say, yeah, I'm ashamed. I feel guilty. When I'm not aware of it, when I bottle it up, then I'm just mean to people. I'm ashamed of who I am, and what comes out is, you kids better be quiet because you're bothering me. Or who knows what irritation comes out, but it's not even about that. When I'm real with who I am, I'm real. I'm feeling ashamed for what I did right now. And I come to God or to somebody else or even just to myself. I am ashamed of my behavior. God, I'm ashamed of what I did. I think I'm a pathetic loser right now. And I come to God in that honest moment. He does the most amazing thing. He doesn't say, yep, you are a pathetic loser. Shape up. He says, come here. Yeah, I receive you in your shame. And then His grace transforms me. And I can be real, I can be more real, and I can know Him more. Because I want God to know all of me. And I don't want there to be a certain part of my life that never touches God's grace. That never gets to have God's grace in it, because this is the only part of me that I'm real with, that I bring to God. I will bring to God my Sunday morning, church clothes, good behavior, nice, give Him a box. And that's the only place I get to experience His love. But I want God to have all of me. Well, that's scary. And so I encourage each of us to be real with ourselves. Journaling has been powerful for me, but also even in our prayers, just to be honest. The other night I was praying before bed, and I realized I'm just carrying like all these anxieties. I got the anxieties of the world on my shoulders. Like, what is this? And instead of just, well, I'm going to ignore those and I'm going to, you know, have whatever prayer with God, it's like, I'm going to bring those. And I don't, maybe I'm visual. Writing those out just helps me. Write out a page of anxieties and then it's like, okay, I think God can handle those. Somehow when they stay inside and I don't even look at them, it's like, this is never going to work out. There is no possibility. But just start bringing them. Yeah, I'm nervous about this upcoming thing. And be honest. And it's amazing what happens in those. I experience God's love in a richer way. His power, His ability, His grace. And even with Holly, as I share those things, I'm like, this sounds really, really, really dumb, but right now, I'm afraid you don't like me. It's like, how childish is that? Grow up, Dove. But instead, it's like, wow, you actually feel that. Okay, that's cool. That's okay. I do care about you. And that honesty is a powerful, powerful place to be loved in new ways. I want to give you guys just a minute to sit here, and I want to challenge you. If there's a place where you feel like you haven't been honest with God, or if there's another person that you need to be honest with that you've held back, maybe make a note or mental note, or just ask God if there's a place that you've held back from Him, and may we walk in that freedom of being known exactly as we are. I feel like I am becoming more comfortable in my own skin through this time. I'm more okay with Dove, even though, man, I got some messed up stuff. Feelings and thoughts, and I got all kinds of wacky stuff. And I'm becoming more okay with that because God's okay with me as that. And He's cool with you the way you are. And He wants you the way you are. And He wants to transform you to not just keep you the way you are, but He will transform us. So we're just going to take a minute just to sit and think, pray.